Chardet. Closing out the program from 1985's Promise was Maureen. Simon Grab and Francesco Giudici did I Leave from No Surrender. Ian Nagoski did Side 2 of Kerflowey. Joan LaBarbera did Most of Thunder from Tape Songs. Entourage Music and Theater Ensemble did Nature Spirits from The Mermaid's Purse, live at Chatham College in 1976. And our friend L. Don Okami did Crystal and Light at, I mean from, Crystal and Light from Judgment Day at P. Niki. My name's Scott. I'll see you next week. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM worldwide online, WFMU.org. Stay tuned for dinner at Andy's.
Listener, take your ease. The star is Andy, making America smile. And Ken is handy for remembering the number that you dialed. You can call in and tell Andy your sins. Go ahead now, it's never too late. It's always in style to just pick up and dial 201-209-9368. If you've got troubles, these days you probably do, call on the double. You won't believe it, you might just get through to where dinner at Andy's waits for you. Go ahead now, it's never too late. It's always in style to just pick up and dial 201-209-9368. If you've got troubles, these days you probably do, call on the double. You won't believe it, you might just get through to where dinner at Andy's waits for you. Andy's waits for you.
Thank you to John Dogg for that relatively new theme song for Dinner at Andy's. Andy is out of town in L.A. for the next couple of weeks, working on a Lorne Michaels-produced documentary on Saturday Night Live writers. So in his absence tonight, we present a brand new clip show with short clips from previous shows produced by you, the listeners. Let's start off with a series of clips that were submitted by different listeners concerning one of Andy's favorite on-air games, Dead Air Chicken, which is kind of a dare game to see who is better at keeping completely silent on the air. So this first clip is by listener Pam, and I'm not sure when it's from, but it might be the genesis of Dead Air Chicken.
Okay, so we did. Are we done the foreplay yet?
Yeah, because the bottom of my copy is unreadable here.
Oh, the fax didn't come out?
We have to end right now.
Okay. It's like a game of chicken. It's Radio Chicken. Okay, you want to play Radio Chicken?
I win.
Oh, no. Okay, I want a rematch.
No, I won.
You did win.
Yes,
damn!
I tricked you.
That is the greatest game we ever invented. Who will talk first? Oh, someday, a rematch. And I won't even tell you when I'm going to do it.
I won't tell you either.
Damn. Because you have two shows a week. Right. I can't go the whole show just sitting here.
Well, that's what I did this morning. I limbered up. I practiced Radio Chicken on myself this morning.
You practiced not talking. You know, it'd be very funny if you just let it go for like 40 minutes, ate up the whole hour, and then just said at the end, you win. Okay, so.
Is Dan back with the body of the show scripts yet?
Yeah, come on, Dan. He's still writing it. You know, it's hard for Dan. He has to pretend to do all the voices. You know, he does all our phone calls are all performed by Dan Michael, and very versatile actor. So speaking of actors and acting, I would love to get an acting coach. If anyone out there has taught actors or is teaching acting, give us a call, 201-200-WFMU, because we're going to have a little acting contest, our little mini Academy Award, and we need a judge, a qualified judge. 201-200-WFMU. I guess we don't have to wait for an acting coach to call. We can just start soliciting contestants.
Yeah, why don't you explain what the competition is here?
We just want to, Ken and I sort of had a disagreement about whether or not someone could cry, whether or not crying is really as difficult as actors make it out to be. We're told it's the hardest thing for an actor to do is to cry on demand. So if you have any acting experience or any acting aspirations.
Or just whining experience.
Or just whining experience. Or if you're really going through a crying jag right now, then you'd have a real advantage because you wouldn't have to pretend. Give us a call. We'd like to hear you cry on cue. I guess we're going to be playing who's that interviewer that always makes people cry? Barbara Walters. We'll just bring up a few sensitive little subjects, enough to just initiate a little crying jag, and then we will record your crying jag, and we will have an impartial judge in the business decide who wins our little 7-second delay Oscar. And we do have a real prize to give out at the end of the show.
Why don't you tell them what the prize is?
Because if I do, Ken, no one will call.
Well, no one's calling now.
Is that true?
That's true.
Even though it's the kinder, gentler me?
I told you that it doesn't matter if you get kinder and gentler now.
Well, how many weeks do I have to be kinder and gentler before people will trust me again?
More than you're capable of.
201-200-WFMU. We're looking for actors, actresses, or wannabes. Who think they can cry for us and make it convincing. And the most convincing crier will go home today with a real prize. And we'll have a real professional judge. If you are an acting teacher, you can call and be our judge. 201-200-WFMU. Let's put on our first caller. Hi, you're on the air. Okay, now we're looking for someone.
I win again.
Fine. You win. We're looking for someone that has a gun, some kind of loaded weapon they can drop off at Jersey City. I just need some kind of gun. I'm only going to be using one bullet, so you don't have to load the whole chamber. Just a gun. Drop it off. And so then... I guess Michigan's out. We'll have to find like a little alley or something.
Thank you, listener Pam, for that clip from around 1998. Historic for the very idiotic reason that it was the first time that Andy and I had flirted with the notion of on-air dead-air chicken. Listener Bubble King sent us in two more clips, also from 1998, that relate to dead-air chicken. Here's Bubble King's first one.
Maybe we should take a little break.
No, it's time for another four-minute show.
Dead-air chicken! Dead-air chicken! I think I can go longer without saying anything. Go!
I win. I told you I would win.
Oh, damn you. How could you let that go on like that?
I have to win.
Oh, that was kind of exciting.
Okay, good. Well, that was another game.
That was
another show.
Dead air chicken.
Okay, so let's do another 4-minute show.
It reminds me of all the times we've played that, but inadvertently. We're the only show, Nikki, that can have dead air while we continue to talk. It's still technically dead air.
Come on, introduce the next
show. Oh, the next show.
And here's Bubble King's second dead air chicken clip from 1998.
Hey, you asked for her to call with a prank phone call, and she did.
That's right. Thank you.
You ingrate.
Yes. Is ingrate good or bad?
Bad. It's bad.
Damn! Shut up! You're the ingrate, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and if it in fact is bad. Okay. Dead air chicken? Dare I do it again?
Dead air chicken, you're on.
Ah!
That was from Bubble King. It's a clip show here in Andy's absence. Thanks to all the listeners who have... am I stepping on dead air chicken?
Okay, you win.
Yes, I am. Thanks to all the listeners who sent in clips. You can still send in clips for future shows when Andy's not here. Although the next couple of weeks, we'll try to have some fill-ins for you. My address is ken@wfmu.org. Here's a clip from Paul C. from 2007. It was the Best Mommy Show, where we invited, I think, kids 5 years or younger to call us up and tell us which one of them had the best mommy.
201-209-9368. You thought you loved your mom? And you're nothing compared to how much Andrew loves his mom. I would love to meet Andrew's mom. She must be a wonderful, wonderful woman. An angel here on earth. Heaven must be missing an angel because Andrew's mom is walking amongst us.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thanks for calling.
Finley.
Who is this?
I'm four.
Okay, and what is your name? Emily?
No, Finley.
Krenly. Yeah.
Krenly, and you are 4 years old, and I know you love your mommy, don't you?
Yes.
How much, Krenly, do you love your mommy?
I love it. I love it more than a black hole.
More than a black hole?
More than a black hole.
A black hole is this giant, infinite sort of theoretical...
Yeah. And I love my mommy, better than a pirate and a snake and a policeman in a black hole.
Hold on, let me see if I can get this straight.
Better than a snake.
Hold on, better than a pirate.
And a snake. And a policeman.
This is boggling my mind. This is, and a snake. And a policeman. Wait, we're not done yet.
In a black hole.
In a black hole.
In a black hole.
In a black hole.
I'm trying.
Oh, my gosh. Krenly, that is really impressive. Your mom must be a very wonderful woman.
Yeah,
and we're going to.
She's a tough. And she always makes things for me.
I don't doubt that for a minute, my friend. Did you hear that, Ken?
Yeah, she makes stuff for him.
She makes stuff for Krenly. Yeah. You want to know how much?
She makes the pyramids.
She makes the pyramids.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes some kind of things in where mummies live.
Frankly, she sounds like an Egyptian goddess.
What? He does.
Galaxy cookies. That's
actually, I can't believe
those
half of what this kid is saying.
That looks like galaxies.
Yeah. Wow. Cookies that look like galaxies.
Yeah. You know what it sounds like? I'm at one of the FMU staff meetings.
Thank you, Krenly.
He's just babbling, and my mind is wandering. Thanks, Krenly.
And thank you, Paul C., for submitting that clip, the best mommy clip from 2007. Now we go back to listener Pam in California. This was the show where Andy was trying to teach me how to smoke cigars, and we were shouting at people about their dead pets. We were on the fire escape landing, and I think we had to shout so that the callers could hear us over the microphone.
What he did is he said, I think you'd better come over. That was his way of telling me that this would be my last chance to see my dog.
Cat's on the roof.
Yeah.
The cat's on the roof, baby.
Yeah.
Do you know that joke?
No.
You don't know that joke?
I don't know.
Open your heart. That's a good thing. You keep opening your heart, you know.
Yeah. Keep it in your heart. Thanks for calling. Yeah. How do we hang up on this person?
I can't. I have to go. Here, hold my cigar.
Okay. It's the cigar show. Yeah, thanks for calling. And she's right. You keep them in your heart. All right. We're at 201 something. What is it?
209.
We're smoking cigars on the back patio. I have another cigar for somebody. They want to join us. Why don't we get that call screener boy out here?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Thanks for calling. You love the show.
I love the show.
I'm sorry I'm shouting. Ken and I are on the back patio smoking stogies.
That's okay. I called to tell you about our pet chinchilla that died.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about chinchilla. Did you love her with all your heart? Was she like a member of the family?
We tried to, but...
Did she think
was
she
kind
was
of an
people?
Evil chinchilla.
Did she act like she was
the
people?
Off the walls.
Uh-huh. She acted like she was people. Am I right or wrong?
No, not really like people.
Exactly.
We tried to get another one to keep her company, and they tried to scalp each other.
Damn dogs.
Yeah, they... No, it was a chinchilla, not a dog.
Damn chinchilla. A chinchilla?
A chinchilla.
What kind of pet is out?
It's a little white, fluffy thing, very soft. And
is
we
it
thought
like
it would
a,
be a great pet for
like
our
a
child.
Ferret?
And all it did was come out in its cage and... Chew on the paint and tried to scalp another one. We had to take it back.
Did you let it out of its cage a lot?
Sometimes. We got one of those balls you put a hamster in and it would run around the house.
How big is a chinchilla?
Oh, it's about maybe 10 inches, like long, and it's a big, fat, fluffy thing. So one day we woke up and one of its eyes was popped out of its head.
You don't like the cigar? I'm sorry, we'll get back to the chinchilla in a minute. You chomp on it. You're smoking it like a little girl. You chomp on it like you own the railroad.
You chomp on it?
You chomp on it.
You're not supposed to inhale, right?
No, you don't inhale. You chomp on it like you're being funny.
Why?
Or you own the railroad.
Why chomp?
Like you're making a big deal. Like you're foreclosing on the house.
I see you're chomping on it. Why chomp on it? It's disgusting.
How you do it? It's a prop. It's a prop. You chomp on it. You don't have to hold it. Put it in your mouth and then remove your hand from it. There you go. That's it.
Okay.
You look great. You're going to love cigars. I'm sorry. So you're
okay, go on.
Chinchilla.
I'm chomping on the cigar. Go on about the chinchilla. Are they like ferrets?
No, they're not like ferrets. They're not as long as a ferret.
They're supposed to be,
you know, kind animals. But...
And how long do they live normally?
Well, when we bought it, they told us it was going to live for 20 years. But if that would have been the case, we would have been in big trouble.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work.
And how long did this chinchilla live?
Well, this chinchilla lived about 2 years.
And what was the name of your beloved chinchilla?
It was Mo.
Mo.
Mo the chinchilla.
My wife and I got one of them human toddlers.
Yeah?
A baby.
Yeah, a baby. And they're cute. They're supposed to live, they say, like 85, 90 years. They're cute. We call it Molly.
Well, one day our chinchilla, when we woke up, one of its eyeballs had popped out of its head.
Why?
Well, we didn't know. We took it to the vet, and it turned out it had they thought it had some kind of growth, and it turned out it had like a brain tumor. And They told us that it was going to be fine, but it was at the vet for about 3 weeks, and the vet, they called and said, oh, it's, he's better now. You can come and get him.
The vet said he was fine, but
yeah,
the eyeball didn't go.
The vet said he was fine.
The eyeball didn't go back in.
You know, that they fixed him and everything.
Oh,
and,
Lord.
And so we went to pick him up, and when we walked in to the vets, they asked us to come in the back room, and they said, well, he was fine
room.
When you left the house, but the vet got him out of the cage to clean off his eye again, and he died.
That dreaded back room at the vet.
That's exactly, and
that's where the
said.
Bad news happens.
That is where the bad news
There's
happens.
There's never good news in that back room.
It is the back room.
Yeah, they take you back there and tell you, but they did say that when we left the house,
kind of
Joe Gibbon, he was alive.
We can't get into the room to change, to put on another call, can we? We're stuck with this woman with the chinchillas.
I can go back in there if you'll hold my stogie.
Okay. Are you enjoying it a little more?
A little bit.
I can let you go and take another call.
We can't,
but
we're outside.
I'm enjoying you. Andy's bored, but you shouldn't take that personally because pretty much everybody bores Andy.
No, I like the part about the eyeball coming out of the head. And
yeah,
then you decided
we called
to take
him
it to
skunk
the vet.
Eye.
I think the vet was right. It could be very serious. An eyeball coming out of the head could be a very serious symptom of something. Yeah.
Do you have any final zingers, Andy?
For this chinchilla story?
Yeah.
No, I can't believe you never heard the cats on the roof.
Here, hold the stogie and I'll go back into the studio.
Right.
You can still talk to the chinchilla woman.
I have nothing more to say to her. Where do you live?
In Florida, New York.
Have you ever seen your parents naked since you've been an adult?
Unfortunately, I think I have.
You have? What were the circumstances of that?
Oh, walking in the bathroom at the wrong time.
And you saw your mother or your father?
My mother.
You shouldn't do that.
I know.
You should knock or something.
I should have learned to knock.
Yeah. I think that mother naked story beat the chinchilla story.
There you go.
Although it's not a contest. Thanks very much.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for calling. This is going swimmingly.
It's going great, Andy. We have like a full phone bank.
And that was a clip put together by listener Pam in which Andy's fear of nudity comes out loud and clear. And Andy referred in that clip to a story or a joke he calls the cats on the roof. So let's go to a clip now prepared again by listener Paul C., in which Andy explains the cats on the roof.
All right, there are two brothers, right? One brother has a cat. He loves a cat.
Okay.
But he wants to go to Europe. So he says to his other brother, listen, I'm going to go to Europe. Take good care of my cat. I'm trusting you to take care of my cat. Brother goes to Europe. He's bouncing around Europe. He calls home. He says, hey, how's my cat? The first brother says, your cat's dead. The guy in Europe is traumatized. He's stunned. He can't, his head explodes. He goes wandering aimlessly around Europe for months, right? He's grieving.
Because of his dead cat.
He calls back home. He says, listen, you can't just say out of the blue, your cat's dead. You have to do it gradually. You have to give me time to adjust myself. For example, you should have said when I called, the cat's on the roof. And then the next time I called, you should have said, the cat has pneumonia from being stuck on the roof. And then the third time, then you could say, your cat didn't make it. You should have done it gradually. And the first brother says, I'm very sorry. You're absolutely right. And I apologize. And the brother in Europe says, it's okay. I forgive you. By the way, how's mom? Mom's on the roof. Thank you. There, you made me say it. So you're asking how my CBS project is? The cat's on the roof.
That was a TV project that never got made. The pilot never even got made. The CBS project Andy's referring to. And that was a laugh track, a pre-recorded laugh track, not recorded at the UCB Theater. But we do have some clips here tonight that were from the UCB Theater. This one's not, though. Here's a clip from listener John L. showing Andy's ongoing love affair with Broadway show tunes. I'm going to have to leave the mic, so you need to sing a show tune.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Hey there, Hamilton. Hey, you don't look like Hamilton, but According to the playbill, you're playing Hamilton. I guess your name is Hamilton.
What the hell was that?
It's a song from Hamilton, as best as I remember.
Jesus, what happened to Paint Your Wagon?
Oh, yeah, Paint Your Wagon. Got a dream, boy. Have you seen Hamilton?
No, I have not.
Oh, man, you'll love it.
Really? Did you love it?
Loved it. My only complaint, small complaint, hardly worth mentioning.
Yeah?
Not well researched.
No?
No. The guy, when I saw it, the guy Hamilton was played by a Puerto Rican guy.
Well, I think that's what
they're I guess no one in the production office there had a $10 bill handy.
No, I think, you know, yeah. they're trying to do a new thing with it.
What was that? I think that, yeah, the new thing was first guy in gets the part, apparently.
I don't think that's what they were going for.
Huh.
Yeah, I think they were, isn't the thing about Hamilton, it's all people of color, is it not?
Oh, you know what? Now that you mention it, wait, I'm thinking back.
Yeah, there are probably no white people.
Hold on,
in
I'm
it.
Picturing it in my mind's eye now.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yes, you're exactly right, now that you mention it.
Yeah. I think that was intentional.
Had to be.
Yeah.
Had to be, now that I'm playing it back. Had to be intentional.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that? What are the odds? 9 or 10 principal cast members, all black.
I apologize for my friend Andy, who is not here tonight, which is why we are hearing all these clips from previous episodes. Here's another one produced by listener Paul C., in which Andy is very impressed by my prowess at giving traffic reports. Frank, Garden State Parkway.
Call in and let you know, it's a little update. It is now a disaster on the Parkway South after mile marker 155. I am in park, basically. It's no more than 5 miles an hour.
Stand still. 155
southbound,
right?
Correct. Yeah, heading towards Route 3 exit. But, yeah, nobody's moving.
Oh, man. Why? Is there an accident? What's going on?
Yeah, it says delays ahead. Be prepared to stop.
Oh, okay.
So that is, no, that's a great bit of information. If you can avoid the parkway heading south, find an alternate route for yourself.
Thank you, Frank. It's time for a traffic update.
This is 91.1 FM, weekday weather traffic update. Your life, your world, your news on 91.1 WFMU every 180 seconds.
At the Garden State Parkway at exit 155 southbound, it is a complete standstill. Try to find an alternate route to that. In Vermont, on Chamberlain in Barton, Vermont, nobody is on the road. You can drive with your thighs and clap. And following up on the situation in Gowanus on Hamilton Avenue, the bridge is down and traffic is once again moving. Tune in again in 180 seconds for the next traffic update here on WFMU.
Ken. This is your finest hour.
It is fun. It is fun.
This show is to you what World War II was to Churchill. You are rising to the occasion. You're an inspiration. Ken, I am so proud
of you. Well, I've listened to so much traffic on the radio my entire life. And I've never done it.
I just wanted to sit back. It's like performance art. You're just a jazz musician. I'm just so impressed with you.
Oh, gee, thanks, Andy.
201-209-9368. Give my friend some more traffic to report.
Your life, your world, your news on 91.1 WFMU every 180 seconds.
In Boston on Starro Drive, the fireworks cleanup continues. It's 92 degrees outside, and Denise is in constant PMS. Back in New Jersey on the Garden State Parkway, all clear at exit 142. The traffic clears up after exit 151. It was due to hordes and hordes of stupid people. And in Boulder on Baseline Avenue near the University of Colorado campus, campus is moving well, but beware of the hacky sack players and the drum circles. Next traffic update in 180 seconds right here on WFMU.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Ken. You're an artist. Kate, this is your calling.
I can't believe you're so excited.
I've never enjoyed our show more. Oh, my God.
Why are you so excited by this? I don't understand.
It's like another side of you that's been waiting to come out.
I've probably listened to traffic reports on the radio for 5 years out of my entire life. Of course, not anymore. Now I use Waze.
You're so good.
Actually, I actually still listen to the traffic. I actually find it.
It is. There's like a rhythm to it. It's like poetry.
Yeah.
You're so good at it. It's like music.
I find it relaxing.
Yeah.
I find it relaxing.
It's real. When you do it, it really is.
On Rue St. Catherine in Montreal, we have chaos near McGill University as drinkers and workers are stumbling through the streets. In Boston, on I-93 South, we have moderate traffic. Hazardous drivers have spilled on the roadway, and Denise is still in PMS. On Elmore Avenue in Elizabeth, going towards Banana King's, there's a Kingo Combo empanada spilled all over the roadway. And in Kinnelon, on Booton Avenue near the firehouse, a black bear has just crossed the road.
Yeah.
Tune in 180 seconds from now for the next traffic update here on WFMU.
Ken, what are you playing crappy music all day for? This is your calling. This is why God put you on this earth.
Thank you to Paul C. It's all coming back to me now. That was Andy's assistant, Johnny Celentano, who made us that little traffic anthem, which we played every 3 minutes for that hour. We go back to listener Bubble King now. This was from 1999, and I believe Andy was just beginning to try to make his catchphrase, "Go to hell," go viral.
It's actually good. It's an exercise in pharmacology. You might learn something.
Yeah, you're a farmer. Right.
We have a poet on the line.
This might work.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for calling.
I love the show.
You love the show.
I love it.
Long time listener.
Oh, yeah.
First time caller.
No.
First time caller.
No, I'm not.
You're a little nervous. First time caller.
I'm not.
Just say it. Just
all right, first time caller.
No, don't be nervous.
All right.
You're going to be fine. Okay, so you've written a little poem.
Oh, yeah.
And Ken and I, as you read it, we'll be jotting down notes, and then we will interpret it, and you tell us who has interpreted it best.
Okay.
Okay. And any other poets, please call 201-200-WFMU.
And if I recall, Andy, you wanted to remind the caller at this point that his stinking poem better not be too long.
Yeah, your stinking little poem has to be a stinking little poem.
No, it's short.
Okay. And what is the name of the poem?
Uneven.
Uneven. I'm ready to go. Anytime, sir.
Uneven. Jagged puzzles. It leaves questions. Incoherent paradox. Some things are unnecessary. Does it work? No rhythm or rhyme. Comes and goes. Shock! What? Jolts. It's quick and deadly. Loud and distorted. It doesn't end.
I've got my interpretation.
I've got my interpretation.
You go first.
Okay, is it about JM in the AM?
No.
The Jewish music show here on WFMU?
No, you missed that. No.
Okay, Ken, what did you think it was?
Is it about chaos and entropy?
Close, somewhat.
No, it's not close.
Yeah.
That's the most vague.
I would say that is a better interpretation, if it also deals with enkephalins.
I win.
Okay, you get that point.
I win that round.
Okay, what is enkephalins? What is enkephalins?
Well, enkephalins are neurotransmitters in the brain which inhibit pain and produce opiate or sexual-like effects.
So is it serotonin?
But it's also the name of my band with my brother Jay Jones. I'm Todd Jones, and we're out of Edison, New Jersey.
And where are you playing next? Just get it over with.
We're not. Okay. Not playing anywhere.
Well, listen, next time you do have a gig, save Uneven until the encore.
All right.
Make him wait for it.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
/eBath.
Yeah, exactly right. Okay. Bye-bye.
I believe the score is 1-0.
1-0. I can't believe that was the lead singer of Uneven.
Is Uneven the name of his band?
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
Well, that went well.
Yeah. Chaos. And that's just so stupid. You can say that about any poem.
No, you can't.
I took a shot. I really thought I had it.
You should widen your net, maybe. That's just a little advice.
Go to hell.
That's
a little advice from me.
From the person who's winning right now.
Hey, do you think my little catchphrase, go to hell, will ever catch on?
I don't think so.
I heard someone using it in Chinatown.
It's not, you know, people use that
I
phrase.
I felt so proud. What?
It's an actual phrase. It's not a catchphrase.
Oh, go to hell. See? It's fun to say. No, it's my catchphrase.
You can't turn an existing phrase into a catchphrase. You know, where's the beef wasn't an existing phrase when Wendy's incorporated into that commercial.
Do you know what hell is? Hell's where you go when you die. It's a horrible, fiery place. And to tell someone to go to hell.
Right.
But it's funny to say it in the most casual sort of way, about the most trivial sort of disagreement. It's funny. And maybe how I'm saying it is the catchphrase.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Using it inappropriately.
Yeah, using it inappropriately.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my trademark.
Overreacting.
Yeah, overreacting. That's why I'm so beloved, because I'm always coming up with these funny little catchphrases. That's why everyone loves me. 201-200-WFMU.
And, of course, if you had to write your own catchphrase, it would cost you more money.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why you
have to go to some ad agency. Hi, I need a personal catchphrase.
So that's why you just take one that already exists and you use it inappropriately.
Yeah.
And that's humor.
And if you don't like it, go to hell. See? See? It's fantastic.
I see how you operate now. It's lean, mean. You're a lean, mean comedy machine.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem.
I wish that was my nickname instead of Pinky Dick. Okay, is there any way to change nicknames? I'm in my 40s. I don't know if it's too late. 201-200-WFMU.
We need poets.
We sure do. Oh, Lord, we need poets.
Hey, we have one.
Ah!
That's September 1999, the beginning of Andy's catchphrase, Go to Hell. Thank you, Bubble King, for sending that one in. Here's one sent in from recently. These are all from the COVID before times, except for this one from listener Okasa. It's a monkeypox joke from I think around a month ago.
People from 1 to 10, how scared are you of monkeypox?
Not at all.
Me neither.
Not at all.
Me neither.
It's ugly, though.
Well, not if you like popping those packing sheets. You know, those bubble sheets?
Oh, bubble wrap.
Yeah, if you like that, yeah. then monkeypox is a great disease.
Right. Well, it's true that the monkeypox blisters are very large.
Yeah, they're fun to pop.
Yeah, they're very...
That's the only positive side.
They're much larger than smallpox blisters. Yeah. And, of course, bigger than chickenpox.
It's a bad name for a little disease.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, is it better than or worse than cowpox?
I don't know.
And camelpox also. They have camelpox.
Do they?
Yeah.
There spread from camels to humans?
Who knows? Monkeypox isn't really spread by monkeys anymore.
Yeah, not anymore, but yeah. I've seen monkeys with it.
Where? Where have you seen monkeys infected with monkeypox?
In my basement.
I think that was when we were selling records in front of WFMU in late May. Where this is a clip show of Dinner at Andy's, looking back at a lot of old 7 second delay clips. Andy's out of town this week and the next 2 weeks. Next 2 weeks we'll have fill-ins, and after that Andy returns. And we're going to now turn to listener Heather, our new assistant producer Heather. And she has uncovered a couple of clips from our old Upright Citizens Brigade theater days when we did the show 7 Second Delay every other Wednesday night live from the UCB Theater when it was in the West 20s. And this is the great writer Simon Rich, who is a writer for Saturday Night Live and has also written some really amazingly funny books as well as screenplays. This is when we had him on the show reading from one of his recent books, Simon Rich.
Okay, let me hear. This is from high school.
Yeah, this is a high school piece. It's loosely based on an actual teacher that I had. And it's a piece called Math Problems. Unit 4 test. Please show your work. Problem 1. A name brand bottle of rum costs $12.95. The generic brand sells for $7.50. If a math teacher buys 4 bottles of generic rum each week, how much does he save each month? How much does he save each year? How much money does a math teacher save over the course of 11 years? Problem 2. A math teacher's new apartment is approximately 12 feet long and 5 feet wide, and the bathroom takes up 50% of the apartment. A normal human-sized bed is 6 feet by 3 feet. Does the math teacher have enough room for a standard bed, or will he have to sleep in some kind of dog bed? Problem three. By order of the high courts, a math teacher must keep 1,000 feet away from his ex-wife at all times. Say, theoretically, she lives on 63rd in York, exactly halfway between the math teacher's apartment and his school. How far out of his way does a math teacher have to walk every morning just to keep from getting arrested? Problem four. After 11 years of service, a math teacher receives an $80 gift certificate to Shaw's Gas in lieu of a raise. How much of that money will be left after taxes? Express in bottles of rum.
That was Simon Rich on 7 Second Delay at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater back in May of 2009. And thanks to Heather for editing that clip and sending it in. And here's another one Heather did. This is a musical number. This was when our musical guest in, this was what, also May 2009, our musical guest was Moby. And to entertain Moby, we had not only Simon Rich, that was the same show, actually. We had a Moby imitator, our own Chris Stubbs, who used to play every year with the Hoof and Mouth Symphonia, looks a whole lot like Moby, and we had him performing for Moby, and Moby was a great sport about it.
But in the spirit of the show...
But at least he's not getting shot in the back of the head. That's what passes for upbeat, I guess.
In the spirit of the way the show is going, feel free to be old men and complain about it after it's done.
Or during.
Or during. During, yeah. Please. By all means, give pointers. Tell me to stop.
We look forward to it. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen,
here we go.
The Moby Tribute Band play.
I hate it already.
Thank you.
Can you hear anything?
Hey. 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 Woman.
Oh, nice.
Hey. Hey.
The acid is kicked in.
See, I know radio's not a visual medium, but there's a light show right now.
Woman. If my dreams are dying, oh.
You want to reconsider that I'm not uncomfortable answer?
1, 2. Huh. In the place to be now.
Kaleidoscope. You threw me off, man.
I never meant to hurt you.
Hear me now.
I never meant to lie.
Ride the punani.
So this is goodbye. Is goodbye. Hey, hey.
You can sing along if you want.
Woman. Hey, hey, hey. Woman. Tell the truth, you never wanted me.
It's a comedy show.
Tell me.
Here we go.
In my dreams, I'm jealous all the time. As I wake out of my mind.
Listen, I'm nervous up here, all right? Give me a break.
Going out of my mind.
Woo!
Hey. Hey.
You should know it's not over.
Hey.
I don't actually write the songs.
Woman who, hey. Woman, hey, 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 woman.
Thank you.
Hey.
The dogs are live, but that was a clip. That was a clip from 2009. That was the Moby tribute band, known as Chris Stubbs, performing right in Moby's face and Moby freestyling along with him. And now we're going to turn to a clip put together by our own Irwin, who is back on the air Fridays noon to three. This is Andy and his guys as Captain Tolerance.
So Pamela almost had music to play.
Yeah, she described music from another job.
Yeah.
That's where we are, Ken.
In the bathroom.
That's where we are. Callers are calling from San Francisco describing music that they heard in the bathroom years ago.
Yeah.
That's where we are, Ken. Congratulations.
I warned you that this was a very difficult topic and that we needed a plan B. Do you remember me saying that?
No.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the bottom.
Yeah. No, this is not the bottom. This is it. No, we're not at the bottom yet. You know nothing about the bottom.
Let me just review. The last call we had was a young woman calling from San Francisco describing music she heard in the bathroom a year ago.
At a previous job.
At a previous job. God forgive us all.
You're leaving out the most interesting part of the story, that the music in the bathroom was the wedding march.
God forgive us all. This is our one and only life.
Yeah, this is
This is it. This is the show. How long have we been doing this show?
80 years.
This is it. This is our life, Ken.
I know.
Oh, you know what we can do?
What?
We can spend, if we have time, we have 36 minutes left.
Uh-huh.
What if we converted to Hinduism?
Okay.
Would that give us eight more lives? Don't they have nine lives? Oh, my God. I just solved all our problems. Don't they have nine lives?
That I don't know. Scientology people live forever.
Well, that's a bit of all right.
Yeah. If you join the...
sign me up for that.
Scientology cleric organization called the Sea Org.
Yeah.
You actually have to sign a 1 billion-year contract.
It's a bit of all right. That would make me feel a lot less bad about this lame show.
Okay. So you should sign up for Scientology.
And we live forever?
Yeah.
How do you sign up? Do you have to write a check?
A check is very helpful. Next time you go to L.A., they have all sorts of places for you
they
to sign up.
They recruit you right on in LA. Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
Wait, am I right about Hinduism? Type in Google Hinduism and then nine lives. Or maybe I'm thinking of my cat. It's a common mistake.
Hindu nine lives. Yeah.
All right, then. How do you join up with them?
Nine beliefs of Hindu.
Oh, yeah. No, wait, what? Yeah. Huh? But aren't they into reincarnation? Don't you get to come back, cycle back?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
There's a lot
you owe me this. Find out that. Do a little research. You have wasted almost an entire life of mine. One life.
There's nine planetary gods in Hinduism.
Come on, man. Give me eight other lives.
All right. Hindu, how about this? Reincarnation.
Get me some more lives.
Well, you don't need
You have screwed up this one so bad, Ken.
You don't need reincarnation.
Owe me this.
Yes. Hinduism allows for reincarnation.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Get me. How do I sign up there? Get me a Hindu.
It'll be easier for you to sign up for Scientology.
Get me one of their rabbis on the phone. No, this will be cheaper, right?
Why?
Hinduism, they don't ask you to fork over a portion of your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can I join Scientology even though I'm not in the closet, even though I'm not gay?
Of course.
Oh, I thought that's what that was all
about. No. Are you, because of John Travolta?
Yeah.
Him being gay?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they deny that anyway.
I know he enjoys having gay sex. I don't know if he's actually gay.
That doesn't
gay.
Make him gay.
I know, Ken. Yeah. Believe me, I know. I'm very progressive. Okay. I'm more open-minded than anyone you'll ever meet.
All right, good.
You want to know how open-minded I am?
How open-minded are you?
Last time I flew back from L.A., I sat next to a guy for 5 hours,
uh-huh.
Talked to him,
yeah,
got to know him,
mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until we landed, it wasn't until I had been with him for 5 hours that uh-huh. I saw for the first time that he was a black guy.
Okay. Were you avoiding eye contact?
Nope, I just don't notice that stuff.
You don't see race?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Hey, are you Caucasian?
I am Caucasian.
I wouldn't know. It's a gift and a curse. Like if I ever witness a crime,
uh-huh.
And the police say, "Can you describe the guy?" I have to tell the police, "I'm sorry,
sir. You can't.
I'm too progressive. I'm too open-minded. I just don't see pigmentation."
Can you see gender?
No, I can't. It's like everyone is wearing a big potato sack. Can you see gender?
Yeah, very easily.
You misogynist pig. You homophobe.
I'm not a homophobe.
You are. You're a racist.
No, I'm
when
not.
When you look at a man, do you see whether he's black or white?
Yes, I do.
You are a racist.
I can see that. I can't help but see it.
Well, I have taught myself not to notice.
I don't judge it, but I see it.
I have taught myself. I mean, believe me, sometimes I wish I didn't have this curse.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish I wasn't so progressive and open-hearted and minded.
What would you do then?
Well, I'd...
Would you join the Klan?
I'd be a much better witness.
Like you've always wanted to.
Yeah, they'd let me join the Klan. Oh, my God, I've applied like 4 times. Are you still colorblind, Mr. Breckman? Yes!
That's Andy, Captain Tolerance Breckman, in a clip edited by our own Irwin. And now we go back to listener Paul C. on this clip night episode of Dinner at Andy's. And this is from 5 years ago when Andy and I did the Fantasy Fight Club.
Who is Scott fighting? What is your name, sir?
Scott.
Okay, wait, who are we talking to?
We have 2 Scotts on the line.
Scott.
It's the battle of the Scotts.
I'm calling from Alameda. Scott from
it's Scott Alameda. Scott in Alameda versus Scott in Picatinny.
Okay, you know,
the battle of the Scotts.
I'm going to call the first Scott, Scott, and the second Scott I'm going to call Scott.
That's great, Andy.
Okay.
That's perfect.
It'll make things a little easier for me. Okay, Scott, you want to throw the first punch?
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to run across the room and run up the wall and, like Jackie Chan, and somersault onto his shoulders and pound on his head like Bongo.
Oh,
okay,
good move.
Pretty good. Okay, Scott B., how do you defend yourself against that?
First of all, I'm Scott A. Second of all, that's easy. I skate right into the board. And I go where the glass kind of, you know, ends at the bench, and I just hit your face on the glass, and then you fall off my shoulder. Done.
Okay, and then what? Okay, that's a defensive move, and now what's an offensive move?
Oh, I take a stick and jab it up in your ribs.
Okay, a stick in the ribs. Scott B., how do you respond to that?
All right, so I take this stick and I swing it around and trip him up and drag him across the ice into the net and get him tangled up in the net.
Okay, that's a great defensive move, and then. And then, Scott A., how do you untangle yourself from that net?
Well, I use my skate to cut out of the net.
And then you have an offensive move?
Well, my offensive move is my glove comes off. I got the foil on, you know, and just take the jersey up over his head and give him a couple of gut punches and knock his teeth out.
Couple of gut punches. Scott B., is there anything you can do about that?
So I run and I get the Zamboni and I run him over 5 times.
Oh, running him over with the Zamboni.
We're calling the game. Okay. Scott B.
Scott A wins.
No, Scott B.
Scott from Alameda?
I don't know.
I think it was Scott from Picatinny who had the Zamboni.
We'll call him Zamboni Scott from now on.
Yes, Zamboni Scott won. That was Paul C. Paul C.'s clip of the Fantasy Fight Club from, I think, 5 years ago. Here's another one that Paul C. edited from 2020, but I don't know what month it is. Who is more interesting, Ken or Andy's story? Okay, we have 3 more calls. We're playing Who's More Interesting, Ken or Andy? Caller number 1, caller number 2, caller number 3, you're all on the air. Welcome to our new panel.
Hello.
Thank you. Hello for Andy.
Okay, so I think I go first, right?
Yeah, sure, fine.
Okay.
Did your shoelaces become untied this morning?
Huh? Oh, no,
your story. Go ahead.
I go first.
Yeah.
I will tell the story about Iggy Pop's visit to WFMU in 1969.
Yeah.
That's the story. That's the teaser.
I will tell the story about the greatest, I don't know if our listeners are parents, but the greatest parental advice I ever received, and it was from Carl Reiner, the late, great, legendary Carl Reiner, who just passed.
Iggy Pop.
Like you're serious.
I'm not a parent.
Okay, man number 1 votes for Iggy. Man number 2?
Is that me?
No, you're woman number 1, but who do you vote for, woman number 1?
Oh, I'll vote for Iggy Pop.
Okay. Man number two, you could vote, but it's already been decided.
Yeah, it's already been decided. Well, yeah.
Why did I do any pre-production?
But man,
why did I think? Why did I even try?
Okay, thanks to our panel.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing. Well, Andy.
Oh, God.
Did you know? Did you know that in 1968 and 1969, one of our DJs was Danny Fields, the Ramones manager, and also the person who signed Iggy Pop and the MC5 to Elektra Records?
Yeah, 50 years ago.
Yes.
Right?
And he brought Iggy.
50 years ago.
1969, he brought Iggy down to WFMU for an interview. Yeah. Iggy was quite strung out at that time.
Yeah.
And he ended up vomiting all over Vin Scalzo's sneakers. Vin was program director at the time.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That's the story.
No, it's no. I'm sure the story's about to turn a corner and to enter Interestingville. Go ahead.
No, it entered Interestingville at the vomit. When I said the word vomit, that was the portal to Interestingville.
Yeah, I think your GPS is broken.
Thank you, Paul C., for that clip. Interesting to hear a thunderstorm in the background of Andy as he phoned it in. We only have time for one more here, and even a short one. This is by a listener, Pam, in California. The scale of 1 to 10.
If you meet Wednesday at 3 p.m. San Francisco time, you could call in from your little lunch table. Okay, that would work out great. I hope you two have fun. We really did, I feel like we did God's work today, Ken.
Thank you, Hugh. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Hugh. And have fun in San Francisco. We'll make sure they get each other's email. Hey, that's great.
Yeah, you feel satisfied?
I do. It feels good to make that work. They seem like nice people.
Yeah, unless something terrible happens on the date.
Yeah. Oh, God, if he attacks her.
Yeah.
How bad would you feel 1 to 10?
10.
Oh, I'd feel 6.
Why?
I don't know. That's the worst I ever feel. 6 is bad.
No.
Well, considering you go around it in a state of 8 all the time, 10 is not much. Ken's not very. 10 is not very.
Oh, I've seen you over 6.
I don't think I've ever been over.
Yeah,
a 6.
After 9/11, you didn't show up here for a year because you were so freaked out.
You're right. You're right. 9/11 was an 8.
Yeah.
What would you? Where would you put Michael Jackson if 9/11 was an 8?
Well, 9/11 was an 8 for you.
Yeah. Michael Jackson was a 4.
Really?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know.
No way.
Did your heart skip a beat at all?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, he went too young. Oh, God. Every young man in America could breathe a little easier.
This is the Clip Show. Thanks to all the listeners who've put together clips. And no thanks to my two dingoes here who are threatening Matt Fivash, who's trying to come in to do... Weekly World Blues for you. Let's listen to... No, we don't have time. We don't have time for even one more from listener Pam. Sorry. But thank you to Paul C. and Bubble King and Heather and John L. And Okasa for the clips that you guys made. This is WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. This has been Dinner at Andy's. Next week, a fill-in, and the week after that, a fill-in. Coming up right now, it's Weekly World Blues with Matt Fivash.
The star is Andy, making America smile. And Ken is handy for remembering the number that you dialed. You can call in and tell Andy your sins. Go ahead now, it's never too late. It's always in style to just pick up and dial 201-209-9368. If you've got troubles these days, you probably do. Call on the double. You won't believe it, you might just get through to where?
Dinner at Andy's waits for you. Your sins, go ahead now, it's never too late. It's always in style to just pick up and dial 201-209-9368. If you've got troubles, and these days you probably do, call on the double. You won't believe it, you might just get through to where dinner at Andy's waits for you.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A. Thank you.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
Picture, baby, please keep it in your frame.